All right, I just want to check if you all have a copy of the agenda in front of you. The agenda that will be guiding our work today, our activities today in this meeting. If you don't have, could you please indicate by show of hands so that you can be provided. We must all have so that you can follow what's happening. Madam, there's one gentleman this side. Oh, there are two. Okay. All right. In terms of the agenda, we are on item number one, which is opening and welcome. Shall we close our eyes and observe a moment of silence for prayer and meditation? Thank you. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning. Okay, there's no minister here. Okay, fine. Good morning to the DG of Health and your delegation. A special good morning to the honorable MEC. Do we have more than one MECs? Okay, one, two, ne? Oh my God. I'm seeing familiar faces, but it's fine. All right. Good morning to the honorable MECs of Health, HODs, and their delegations that are here this morning. Good morning to the Auditor General of South Africa. Yesterday we were with the Auditor General's office. Do we still have today? Auditor General's office, is it represented today? Or maybe they will be joining us. I'm sure they're still coming. Good morning to all civil society representatives, because as you would know, one of our core mandates is public participation. We've invited people, to those who have interest, to join us. And good morning to the staff, the hard-working staff, and all guests. We will be co-chairing this meeting between myself and Madam. After this, I will allow that members, after my welcoming remarks, I'll allow members to introduce themselves so that we can know who exactly is here. All right. We wish to welcome you all to this joint meeting of the Standing Committee on Appropriations and the Portfolio Committee on Health. Firstly, we wish to really thank the honorable members for their commitment and full participation in discussions that went on till around 9 yesterday night. Thank you so much. I promise you indeed the success of this meeting it depends on your attendance. Now, we also thank our invited stakeholders who were with us yesterday, and most importantly, our staff who supported us till late as well. Thank you very much. We can only grow to new heights, greater heights, with your commitment and also your continued support to the committee. I wish to reiterate the theme of our engagements, which is effective coordination and alignment in the delivery of health services so as to ensure the realization of value for money and also to ensure the impact of the budget that is allocated on a yearly basis for you in particular to promote well-performing public health services. And also so as to ensure effectiveness and efficiencies in the health sector planning and resource allocation. In our deliberations with provinces, we should be very specific on where the coordination challenges are, How are they addressing these challenges, if there are any challenges? How are they ensuring value for money in the entire health value chain, inclusive of the planning and provision of all health infrastructure, human resource, appointments, capacitated human resource appointments, your ICT systems, district support, I repeat, district support, resource allocation, medicine procurement, revenue management, and delivering overall effective health and quality health services. At the end, we should come out with concrete proposal on how do we transform the health sector. And not just transform, how do we radically transform the health sector in the very immediate short to medium term, in line with our goals as contained in the National Development Plan, Sustainable Development Goals, and the MTSF. With these few words, let us have a fruitful and robust engagement on these very important discussions and deliberations. As we deliberate, I think at the center, what we should have is the best interests of the people that we are servicing, particularly in this area, your health, and also the best interests of the country. I repeat, meaning that we will then not be subjective in our discussions. You are expected to apply maximum objectivity as we engage with one another in the best interest of the patients, who in terms of the Constitution have got the right to health, but also the best interest of the country. Because without a healthy nation, you can spend these monies developing, we will not have people benefiting from all these developments that we are putting in place. Just to check, I'm checking with myself if I know what I want to achieve from this one. Ne? As we engage, we're looking at your infrastructure development. And in your infrastructure development, we're also looking at maintenance, because there's no way in which you can have infrastructure budget and you don't allocate for maintenance. And to me, maintenance is even cost effective. What is more expensive is putting up new projects. All right, HR, because without human resources, I'm imagining how can you administer health at their different level of operation. Talking professionals, nurses, administrators, key to me, because this meeting is a response to the needs that we picked up from the people, and the Constitution says you must be responsive to the needs of the people. Serious outcry about dirty hospitals. Okay, so key to me also the cleaners, and then your medical care and medicines. Serious outcry about hospitals and clinics that don't have medicines, when we know that there is budget that is allocated every year. And then, of course, your emergency services, serious outcry from the broader community about emergency services that come late after things have happened. And your waste management. Of late, the media carried bad stories about how we are failing to manage the waste, the health waste, medical waste, and becoming a health hazard to the people. Instead of us giving them a better life, we then become a health hazard. So we would want to know how all these are being managed, because after this meeting, we really would like to see, would like as a country to rise to new heights. In as far as health, the health sector is concerned, rising to new heights and even to greater heights. Thank you very much. You are all welcome. Feel free. And let's, the approach is, this is our meeting. Listen, please. All right. On item number two, I will request that we introduce ourselves. Starting with me, I am commonly known as Pinky Posa, but my official name is Yvonne Posa. I'm the chairperson of the Standing Committee on Appropriations. Madam?
Morning, Chair, and honorable members, MEC and your team, and DJ and your team, and all our guests. I am Lindelwa Tunjwa. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. This line will follow.
Good morning, everybody. Dr. Maisela, the member of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Xeliwe Madlopa, the member of Standing Committee on Appropriation.
Morning all, my name is Alan McLaughlin. I'm a member of the Standing Committee on Appropriations.
Good morning, my name is Malcolm Figg. I'm a member of the Standing Committee on Appropriations.
Good morning, my name is Mahlubanzi Majafta, a member of the Committee on Portfolio on Health.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lamalan Khosa. I'm a member of the Committee on Health.
Health Committee member Wilma James. Good morning.
Good morning, chairpersons and our guests. My name is Sheila Shopesitole. I'm a member of this committee, and I'm the aunt to Honorable Koth.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bongile Manana. I'm a member of the Standing Committee on Appropriation.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Doreen Sinubanyane. I'm a member of both the Health Portfolio Committee and the Standing Committee on Appropriations.
Good morning, Chairs. Good morning, all present. My name is A.M. Sheikh Imam, and I belong to the Portfolio Committee on Health as well as the Standing Committee on Appropriations. So I hope the chairpersons will ensure that I get compensated twice. Thank you.
Ngibingelela nonke ekuseni igama lami ngundaba Cwabaza ngilunga le committee le standing committee ye appropriations.
Good morning, honorable members, honorable chairs, colleagues, MECs. I'm Malibona Precious Matufo, the Director General of Health.
Morning, chair members. My name is Ian van der Merwe. I'm the CFO at National Health.
Good morning, chairs and honorable members. I'm Gail Andrews, and I'm the COO, National Department of Health.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Valerie Rennie. I'm also known as Tiny, but my official name is Valerie. And I'm the head of Corporate Services, National Health. Thank you, chairs.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Cindy Lesodlaza, Director in the Office of Director General, National Department of Health.
Morning, honorable members and guests. My name is Jawaka Kasamba from the Minister of Health.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. My name is Vyokas Machalamba. I'm the committee secretary for the Portfolio Committee on Health. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Linda Wuhlengomane. I'm the content advisor for the Portfolio Committee on Health. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Zubair Rahim. I'm the researcher for the Portfolio Committee on Health.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Vanele Keto from AGSA.
Good morning, members. My name is Moses Ngwabe. I'm the researcher for the Portfolio Committee on Health.
Good morning, honorable chairs, honorable members. My name is Joe Khatla. I'm the parliamentary liaison officer, Ministry of Health. Thank you.
Office of the MEC. Oh. Morning. My name is Uzama Zondi from Office of the MEC for Health. Uzama Zondi, Office of the MEC for Health in KZN. Thank you.
Morning, co-chairs, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Pelane Jomo. Researcher for the Standing Committee on Appropriation. Thank you.
Morning. I'm Major Pali from Limpopo.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm Sibongiseni Dlomo, the MEC for Health in KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Sibongiseni Mjali, Head of Health at KZN.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Phumelele Shezi, Acting CFO, KwaZulu-Natal Department of Health. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairs and Honorable Members and Colleagues. My name is Jeremy Upfold. I'm a Budget Analyst with Provincial Treasury, KZN.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. I'm Belinda Scott, the MEC for Finance in KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, Chairs and Honourable Members and colleagues. My name is Nomtim Juza. I'm the Director in the Provincial Treasury in the Public Finance Office. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairs. Good morning, everybody. My name is Christopher and I'm representing a company called Sabinet. I'm just monitoring. Thank you.
Good morning, coaches, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Musa Zamisa. I'm a researcher for the Standing Committee on Appropriations. Thank you.
Good morning, chairs, honorable members. My name is Russell Rainsberg. I'm the program manager for health systems and policy with the Rural Health Advocacy Project.
Sorry, Chair. I just want to, so that everybody understand the importance of us introducing ourselves and using mics, so that when we are confronted with something and we are asked as coaches, we know who was here when we go into hindsight and be able to say. So that's the reason of this exercise. So you'll use a mic, say, for the benefit of the rest.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Gavin Pratt, Head of Limpopo Treasury.
Morning, I'm Portia Semenya, responsible for Budget and Public Finance, Limpopo Treasury.
Good morning, honorable chairs, honorable members. My name is Marum. Oh, maybe I'm closer. Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. Good morning, honorable co-chairs and honorable members. My name is Marumo Mage. I'm a director, intergovernmental relations at the National Treasury.
Apologies for coming in late, Chair. I'm Jack Carpenter from the Department of Health, KZN.
Good morning. My name is Bongi Kaba, the Chief Director for Infrastructure in KZN Health.
Honorable Chairs, Bongani Chairs, DDG Corporate Management Services, KZN Health.
Morning. My name is Dr. Garipu Mapalam with the PMG.
Good morning, my name is Mark Clarton. I'm from LPP. Thank you.
LPP.
Yeah, Local People Party, General Secretary.
Okay, good morning, co-chairpersons. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, everybody in the room. My name is Tsepo Masoyo. I'm the advisor to the Standing Committee on Appropriations. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Darren Arends. I'm a committee secretary for Standing Committee on Appropriations. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Zandile Halley, committee secretary, Standing Committee on Appropriations.
Sorry, Chairperson. Sorry, Chair. It's too cold, I'm sick. It's too cold.
Good morning. From the Standing Committee on Appropriations, we received two apologies. The first one is from Mr. Kwankwa. The second one is from Ms. Lone Tlanguini. Furthermore, we received an apology from the HOD for Finance in KZN, Mr. L.S. Magagula, who is attending Cabinet OSS and the Committee of Heads of Departments, which is a long-standing item. We also received an apology from the MEC for Finance in Limpopo. They are busy doing a second adjustment budget to fund the shortfall in the Provincial Department of Health. Thank you.
Not make it to this meeting because that has got to inform our decision.
Mr. Kwankwa is on oversight and Ms. Lowe is on study leave.
Okay. Honorable members, we've just listened to apologies. Do you accept the apologies? Maybe somebody should propose. Honorable Member Kwabaza is proposing that we accept the apologies. Any seconder? Honorable Kosa. Thank you very much. Shall we then proceed with our core business of this meeting? We'll move to presentation by Provincial Department of Health, KwaZulu Natal. Thank you very much for coming, MEC. We know that you also had other things to do, but you then respected our invitation. Over to you, Dr. Tomo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to all the honorable members and our Chair in Health, my colleague, MEC Scott. While the HOD is preparing to start the presentation, maybe it would be important just to raise some highlights with regards to some of the issues that probably will come in the presentation, but it's just mentioning them as pressures that we face. We would want to say maybe one day you'll invite us, we'll give you a plan of our medical legal plan, because it is actually important that we need to raise that matter as the second province in the country that has got a huge liability on medical legal claims. So we do have a plan. We probably won't share it today because it's quite a lengthy process, but it will be available. We would also want to say it will be pressure on this country because we have always talked about it. When do we and then end up establishing a pharmaceutical company that is owned by government? Because for as long as we don't have that, we are forced to buy and get medicines from all over the world, and we can't dictate the price of a rand dollar exchange. So those are pressures that we really would be faced with them. It's an interesting matter, Chairperson, that you mentioned on human resource, because we have already established almost a whole university outside the borders of this country in Cuba. So we have about close to 3,000 students there. Half of about 800 of those are coming in from one province, KwaZulu-Natal. It's a good thing that we did, but the rand dollar exchange also has an impact on that. But this doesn't end there. Those students are supported by the bursary. But when they come back, we have to convert that bursary into salaries. Now, when you are going to look into the compensation of staff, you then have to make that accommodation. So why it is good to have all doctors available to help you even in the most peripheral clinics, and therefore improve what you think is a good quality of service, but you then have to talk into the budget of how we are going to deal with that on compensation. And the issues of equipment, again, a rand dollar exchange comes into there. You have to replace machines as they wear and tear, but all machines are not available just next door to the spaza shop. We have to get them from outside the borders of our country, and also those are pressures that we have to deal with on the rand dollar exchange. I just thought I should highlight those issues, because those are some of the things that you just can't do anything with. You just have to carry on with them. The burden of those pressures is something that you can't remove while you have to deal with these issues. But maybe then the HOD and the supported by the CFO. We are glad that our MEC Scott is here also to support us. She supports us very strongly. I think if it was her wish, we would have all the monies and deal with all the pressures in the province. But we are thankful. Dr. Mjali, thanks.
Thank you, MEC. Good morning to honorable co-chairs. AG, honorable members, and colleagues. I also would like to thank the Treasury for being here. And it also shows how much we are working together with them in trying to address our challenges. I will start with the content for our presentation. We'll look at alignment between national and provincial budget processes, alignment of health information systems, alignment of national and provincial health infrastructure priorities, and then we decided to add emergency medical services. When you look at the mission and vision of our department, we're looking at optimal health for all persons in KwaZulu-Natal, and also we want to develop and implement a sustainable, coordinated, integrated, and comprehensive health system at all levels, based on primary health care approach through the district health system to ensure universal access to health care. And these are our strategic goals. Going to alignment between national and budget processes, look at voted funds and conditional grant. One can see that for 2017-18, estimates is at 39.5 billion funding sources is below, but what is interesting is that the voted fund is declining over MTF from 80% to 79.6, but commercial grant is increasing from 19.7 to 20.4. A review of percentage growth in payment and estimates from 2013 to 2019. There's evidence of diminishing growth in equitable share allocation on voted fund. A significant growth under grant funding is mainly from HIV AIDS grant, but low in 2016 and 17. Conditional grant details below. Percentage annual growth there is 10.6%.
and HIV AIDS share is increasing over MTF. When you look at the programs, program one is 2.25% of our budget, which is administration. Bulk of our budget goes to district health, and we are a primary healthcare based country. So that's where our focus mainly is. It's sitting at 48%, followed by program four, regional hospitals, and then program five, central and tertiary hospitals, at 11.558%. This is the narration of the table of the previous pie chart. The green highlights above average as this alignment of APP priorities. Program one change last year of first charge, we had to pay. This is the last year of the first charge that we've been paying. Program 7 and program 8 increases, and we are on cost containment. These are core service delivery programs. Your program 2, 3, 4, and 5, and percentage increase over MTEF. As you can see, program 2, 3, 4, and 5, they are 89.7% of our budget. And these are service delivery programs. And next financial year, it's 90.2, and then goes to 90% year 2019 to 2020. Economic classification, compensation of employees is sitting at 63.84%, and goods and services at 29.91%. Compensation of employees, as I said, is sitting at 63.8, and there's a decline in 2019 to 20. Goods and services increases to 30.7% in 2019-20, and then capital funding is at 3.6%. There's progressive decline in COE growth over the MTEF period from 63.7 to 63.5. We are targeting 63% and COE growth below target for the last 4 years. There's significant reduction in goods and service growth at 2.9. In-year budget changes will be required for 2017-18 with additional funds towards goods and services, looking at mainly at COE and major assets. Our cost drivers in goods and services are mainly medicines, as the MEC has said, they affected by the exchange rate. The NHLS payment, we change from fixed fee to fee for service. Medical supplies as well as property payment. Medicine change continues to grow over MTF and mainly due to ARV medicine. NHLS expenditure for HIV will continue to grow, and this is mainly because of increase in patient numbers. The table below provides information. It shows that medicine is underfunded by 500 million, as you will see in the next slide. IYM data, February 2017, and changes per program in economic classification. I'm not going to go through it, but the last column shows the reverse changes, 8%, and there's minus 80% on interest and rent on land. And then the lower part of the table looks at the programs and the changes there. As you can see, on administration is 9.8%, district health services is 6.2, but the average is 6.8%. IYM February 2017, we had balanced outcome 2016-17 as a result of cash blocking. We had accruals of around 1 billion rand,
and this was due to lack of funding. There's pressure on HIV and AIDS with projected overspending of 329 million. There's also pressure on medical legal claims, and this will show as an overspend, but mainly because we're not budgeting for this. So this is the actual amount that we paid. So if you don't budget for it, it will show as an overspend. Both put pressure on the program and sub-program and economic classification. All conditional grants will be spent in 2016-17, and no or minimal request for rollover will be required as per revised estimates. Percentage increase 2017-18 budget based on revised estimate, 8% for COE, which is below the target of 8.5 set by National Department of Health, and 2.9% for goods and services, and far below the medical inflation. 38.2% for capital assets, as a result of very low spending on our side. I will explain this as we move on. There are concerns. Cash flow available budget for this year, we will be planning to have monthly spend of 8.3%, as when you multiply that you get to 100%, that I think goes to 99.6%. The department will not be able to pay all accounts within the prescribed 30 days, but we do prioritize the service providers, and also it is affected by cash blocking. HIV and AIDS is half a billion rand underfunded for 2017-18. As mentioned earlier, that cost drivers, ARV medication and NHLS, underfunding. COE is underfunded by 112 million, goods and services by 674 million, and we've got pressures with accruals. The department could identify areas of expenditure pressures, and mainly the shortfall because of housing allowance and the NHLS migration from flat fee to fee for service. Other factors would be medical inflation, which is far above the CPIX, challenges in supply chain management, inventory management, price increase on non-medical items like outsourced services, your cleaning and security services, above budget wage agreement, and inflationary pressures. 0.4% increase above wage agreement was not fully funded. The weakening rent, increasing food prices, increasing water and electricity, increasing cleaning and security contract, cost containment remain a challenge and therefore could not be fully budgeted for. Medical inflation is above CPIX. Accruals exceed available monthly budget. And investment in electronic inventory, medicine, NHLS, medical record system remain a priority but require additional funding. These are special projects that we've undertaken. Jozini provision was made for phase one commissioning of Jozini CHC within the allocated baseline. MTF budget for medical legal we've budgeted for this year and up to 2019 and 20. PPP for Inkosi 2017-18 is 650 million and 2019-20 is 737 million. IT budget is 190 million. Payment for capital assets, machinery and equipment increase is attributable to clear the backlog in medical equipment and to accommodate accruals. Allocated budget is 622 million, of which 147 goes to transport equipment, your ambulances, mobile clinics as well, and then other machinery and equipment, it's 475 going to health technology services, 666 going for infrastructure related equipment, 57 million to NTSG, 32 million emergency medical services equipment that is used there, and 180 is for replacement of essential non-medical equipment.
in formulating the 17-18 revised baseline figures, reprioritization of 17-18 indicative baseline, the department took the following into consideration: the alignment with the 2016-17 projected outcome, sustained current level of services and strengthening of primary health care services through savings to be realized from optimizing hospital services, inflationary adjustment within the baseline where possible, reprioritization within economic classification to provide for overall growth in compensation of employees, the 15% growth in HIV grant hides budget shortfall at high level. The 2017-18 baseline shows an annual growth rate of 5.8% from the 16-17 revised estimate. Additional funding will be required to sustain services. Moving on to non-negotiables. These are revised estimates. I'm not going to go through the table, but the red, it shows areas of underfunding, areas like infection control and cleaning. Percentage growth, non-negotiables over MTF period, revised estimates. Red also, it looks at the underfunding areas. The department must ensure sufficient budget allocation to non-negotiable items, and budget for the items must be reduced. Reprioritization within goods and services is impossible to close the gap. Main shortfall in funding is for HIV grants, looking at medicine, NHLS, and medical supplies. Non-negotiable expenditures are crude, inventory management, and efficiency gains to transversal contracts should result in reduced pressures. Percentage beneficiaries accessing free services, it's increasing, and then probably this is mainly because of economic outlook in the country. There's growth in revenue less than growth in expenditure. This alignment of our health information system. Meditech billing module in 6 hospitals, Grace, Fryhead, Newcastle, Dundee, Ladysmith, and RK Khan. Meditech full packages in three hospitals, Inkosabed Luthuli, Addington, and King Dinu Zulu. There is a ProClean system for St. Aidan's and King Edward, Track IT at McCords, but we still have hospitals and CHCs that are using manual systems, and these are our priorities in terms of modernizing. Plans in place for implementing upgraded Meditech with full package at the existing 6 sites. Pharmaceutical services and Department of National Department of Health has developed a plan and is in the process of implementing a comprehensive information system for pharmaceutical supply chain in collaboration with...
Sorry, Chair, we don't have the spot of the presentation.
Okay, the Secretary just whispered that they have received an updated presentation, which we don't have. Could you please quickly get us the updated presentation and circulate it?
Just those last 2 pages, and I don't know how many more coming, Chair.
Well, in your updated presentation, you would know which pages you've added. Is it only the last 2 pages?
No.
You see, that's why I said, can you please get us the copies? The updated copy, and then circulate it to members. Sorry for any inconvenience caused, but shall we proceed, knowing that we will be supplied with a... Agreed. Okay. You may proceed.
Apologies for that. National Department of Health has developed a plan and is in the process of implementing a comprehensive information system for pharmaceutical supply chain in collaboration with National Treasury and AG. We intend using Intenda, and we think this is a backbone of procurement administration to look at warehouse management systems, contracting, supplier performance, and finance. We also, RX solutions, SVS dispensing application for CCMDD, which is centralized chronic medication dispensary, from Scott Services Management Dashboard. On patient information system, NDOH prescribes the district health information system for aggregated patient activity data. DHIS was used since inception as a standalone access-based system. This has since been upgraded to Web DHIS, which is an online capture and reporting system and has been implemented at all hospitals and CHCs as from December 2016. Web DHIS is part of the e-health strategy being implemented by National Department of Health, which will see implementation of health patient registration system. The HPRS allows for registration of all clients in the population who are attending public health services. Each client will have their own unique identifier, and this will help us in those people that are going to various facilities and getting medication, or in our case, some are getting wheelchairs without facilities talking to each other. National Department of Health clinic registers rolled out to all clinics with patient folders being phased in, starting with NHI size. The HPRS and the Web DHIS are foundation systems and a critical component that will enable the rollout of electronic health record in the near future. Current systems used at the provincial office are fully aligned with the National Department of Health, including TIER.net as the ETR.net. The National Department of Health commissioned the CSIR to produce a normative standards framework for health information system used in South Africa that comply with an approved set of norms and standards. Virtual electronic medical system and Meditech are used to selected districts which must be interoperable with the provincial system. Looking at telehealth, telemedicine facilities have been extended from 37 sites. We are targeting 65 functional sites by 2020. Supply of video conferencing equipment tender is in process. Telehealth strategy aligned to National Department of Health strategy. Malaria information system currently being piloted. It's called Malaria Connect. 99 healthcare facilities have currently been trained and piloted on Malaria Connect, and results show the same. The system is effective and efficient in terms of reporting times. Finance and human resource management. Full alignment with National Department of Health, Office of the Premier, and as well as National Treasury. PESAL is used, and BEST is used. Voluntary is used for reporting generation of financial and human resource data. On record management, manual system in all health facilities for general registry, HR and medical records. Only Nkosazana Dlamini has an electronic record management system. For medical files, most facilities use ID numbers and the unique identifier, but the records are still manual and handheld. Some utilize numeric numbers starting from 1st January of a year. The manual system is not prescribed. There is a project plan looking into an electronic record management system for a department. Network and infrastructure, when you look at facility types, there's a slow rollout of broadband in the province. In general, the technology deployed in the facilities is not necessarily in line with SA Connect. Only two hospitals qualify with SA Connect broadband definition. Only one CHC has broadband, though all have connectivity. 151 clinics have data line infrastructure but not classified as broadband. The current challenge is exorbitant SITA connectivity cost, which we are trying to deal with. Network infrastructure system. Current all hospitals have distributed data center per hospital. Currently, the department has started a project to consolidate the servers and have a central data center in Pietermaritzburg and build redundancy in Durban for disaster recovery purposes. The current networking infrastructure is very outdated and doesn't allow convergence, which is a barrier for innovation and cost-saving strategies. Migration is inevitable so that the department can implement services such as voice over internet protocol strategies. Technology requires support and skills. The department suffers from ICT support deficiency. Lots of investment is required in people to increase the capacity to provide support in the re-engineering and innovation journey. Preferable CETA skill outsourcing is not ideal. Insourcing would be a better, as it would reduce SLA cost and provide improved support and security risk. The above point will be supported with the implementation of the ICT equipment leasing strategy. There are pressures on department's budget caused by severe storms. Annually, there are heavy storms that destroy hospital infrastructure, especially roof structures and municipal clinics established within communities, but infrastructure far from compliance. This is a problem, especially when you look at provincialization of clinics, especially in Itegwini. It will come at a cost, and there are limitations in terms of available space if we're going to look at the norms. Other sites rented so cannot be improved using state funding. Most sites very constrained and not suitable for further development. As a country, we are going through drought, so there's issues with the water security. A number of facilities have no access to reliable supply of water, and water augmentation by department is highly costly. This just shows the financial allocation and expenditure overview over years. These are the projects that we've completed as the province. Eating Day Hospital, alteration to emergency and outpatient department, also to replacement clinic in Benedictine, construction of new 40-unit student nurse accommodation, Ekombe Hospital's construction of a new 38-unit nurses accommodation, the facade at Addington Hospital, and total refurbishment and rehabilitation of 16 floors. Inanda Community Health Center. Now, these are the projects that are currently being implemented. Jozini CHC, we had a challenge there because of water challenges. Now that has been sorted, we'll be commissioning soon. Gwelezan, 80% complete. It is running 6 months late because of challenges. Dr. Prisika Isakaseme Hospital, it's a 500-bed regional hospital servicing the community of Inanda, Duzuma, and Gwamashu. It will serve as a referral hospital. Construction commenced in 2015 and the budget of 2.7. We're planning completion by 30th November 2018. This is still there. On KZN Children Hospital, this is one of our strategic projects. The development of this project is being done in phases and is mainly donor-funded. We are also contributing as the Department of Health. Stenga Hospital, there are challenges there with the constructor, but it's a date of completion is around June 2018. We're trying our best to capacitate infrastructure, and these are the posts that are filled and vacant posts. As you can see, Chief Director 100% filled, Director 100% filled. This is the priority to us, as we discovered that health facilities are not easy to Department of Public Works, we felt that we need to take charge in terms of these facilities as Department of Health. The program risk, poor project procurement and supply chain delays of the appointment of property nursing provider due to long drawn-out SCM processes, quality and experience of PSPs appointed with limited experience in planning and management of health projects. There are not many out there. Delays of finalizing your variation orders and extension of time due to long drawn SCM processes. Implemented mitigation. KZN Health are appointing infrastructure personnel to serve in all SCM committees. Department of Public Works are aligning the SCM processes with ours. Professional service provider tenders are now advertised. Poor project delivery. Higher CIDB grades, contractor liquidations, poor performance by higher grade contractor, your grade 8 and 9, cost increases due to delay and to delay the national cost due to cancel projects, poor project reporting resulting in poor project monitoring, lack of project management capacity by Department of Public Works. The mitigation, encourage Department of Public Works to file project closeout with CIDB, manage contractors effectively and timeously. The Public Works now uses health project management information system and reporting continues to improve. Public Works has reviewed their structure to create health chief directorate that will focus on health projects. Here are the risks for various projects for pre-strike assignment. Lost 5 weeks due to labor unrest. 2 matters are on arbitration. In Gwelezan, rework has been a major issue. Project on its way to completion this year. Stenger Hospital, contractor facing cash flow problems and progress is very slow on site. Bi-weekly meetings are being held. Our priority is improving water security and facility through providing additional boreholes and 72-hour storage tanks, replacement of water-cooled high-vac systems, final phase in the replacement of autoclaves, expand the capacity of laundry services through revitalizing of Dundee Regional Hospital, improvement and replacement of clinics to comply with ideal clinic realization and maintenance program, establishment of effective maintenance contracts for mission-critical equipment. The whole budget is focusing on maintaining existing facilities as opposed to building new facilities. On infrastructure, conclusion, over the years, KZN Infrastructure Unit has worked hard to improve the management of infrastructure in the province. Capacity is being increased in the unit. The infrastructure unit is meeting weekly with Department of Public Works. The PMIS is starting to bear fruits and good results. The department is now focusing on asset management in order to improve both operational and maintenance of infrastructure assets. We added emergency medical service, looking at emergency response, special operations and communications. Just as a breakdown, these are the resources that we have in terms of ambulances. We've got 501 and they are categorized as per district, and also your patient transport services. The utilization of resources, there's a norm of 1 to 10,000 population. We're currently sitting at 0.18 per 10,000 population. Of the total staff, 2,121 are operational personnel, 257 are patient transport personnel, and 303 are communication center personnel. The operation schedule for ambulance is a total of 290 per shift and is broken down in as follows: emergency ambulances 212, emergency obstetric ambulances 40, and inter-facility transfer ambulances 38. The challenges, problem with the staff availability, we now and then are faced with labor disputes. Turnaround time for repairs of vehicle is very slow, and we've got an aging fleet. 21% of our fleet is above 250, and also the terrain in KZN is not friendly to cars and conditions of regional airstrips. I'm not going to go through this, but it talks to response time for red codes as well as yellow codes. EMS priorities: improve access to quality EMS and disaster medicine services, implementation of EMS regulations and other legislative policy reforms, transformation of EMS education and training in compliance with National Emergency Care Education and Training Policy, efficient governance system and processes to ensure optimal efficiency and outcome, effective EMS information system, ensuring quality of data to inform planning and decision making. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you so much for the insightful presentation. At least you did not hide your challenges in this presentation. So I think that we also appreciate, even though as we discuss, I think we must look at the best possible solutions even in those areas. Because as the leadership, we are expected to find solutions all the way, find solutions for the people out there. Thank you very much. Honourable members, you were listening attentively to this presentation. I just want to check with you. As they were presenting, we then discovered that there is an updated presentation. But as they were presenting, you also were following on the screen. Now, do I have your permission that we then proceed with the interrogation of the presentation? Or do you think we must postpone it to later?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think we must continue because they were beefing it there. We saw it when they were presenting.
So you were following?
Yeah.
Agreed, Dr. Fick? Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. So at least we have a consensus on that. Okay, I saw your hand, Honorable Member Twabaza. You wanted to say something?
No, I was saying, Jefferson, I agree with the Honorable Matopa. We must continue.
Okay.
Yes, we will receive the additional information later.
Okay, but also once the information is fresh, you want to engage. All right, no, that's fine. Now over to you, Honorable Members, for clarity-seeking questions, but you may as well also, you know, for discussion. Honorable Member Khosa. Sorry, excuse me. I see the MEC for Finance would want to say something.
If you would allow me just a few minutes to talk about where we are in our budget, you know, and the result of health's budget from a provincial fiscus point of view. Because this is an appropriation committee and it would certainly help you understand some of the challenges.
Honourable members, I'm in your hands. Agreed. Okay. We may then proceed. Honourable Member Dr. Fick.
Chair, not meaning to be rude, the MEC asked for a few minutes. Can we just get an indication of how many these few minutes are going to be? Because it could be many few minutes.
Because we've got other three provinces. Actually, the whole day six. The whole day. Other five, yes. All right.
I don't have a problem with the request, but I just wanted to check, is the document, or is it going to be an, is there going to be a document? If there is going to be no document, for some of us, we're not financial fundies, but we'll try, but I'll comment later on some of the issues.
Okay.
But I just wanted to check.
Yeah. We're sorry for this, but appropriations, you know, from your division of revenue, from your appropriations bill, from your, they already have some information that I'm sure they could also use to respond. Honorable Imam.
Yes, Chair, I just want to reiterate what my colleagues have said, because yesterday we allowed the MECs of Finance to participate, and it's only fair that we allow KZN to do accordingly. Thank you.
No, that's fine. Shall you then respond on the minutes?
Thank you. I will really not take long. I just wanted you to understand at national level what we've been facing as a province in terms of the fiscal consolidation program. Up until the 17-18 financial year, the provincial treasury has been able to, with our reserves, buffer our major service delivery departments of health and education. We have depleted our reserves. Provincial departments of health and education this year will be taking that buffer on the head on their own. It is extremely serious. Not only does Dr. Mchali allude to internal pressures such as 500 million, over and above that, we are taking over 100 million rand off their budget for fiscal consolidation, which includes an amount of 31 million for the payment of Isinduna, which was an unfunded national mandate foisted on our province. And we're not even talking about the 1.5 billion back pay, but we have to spread the load. But from a provincial treasury perspective, we are satisfied. We work very closely with the Department of Health. This is actually my brother's department. He would say I'm his sister department. We hold their hand. We've got full-time people in them. There has been a health sector review program which hasn't been adhered to in total, but we do have expert finance people in with Dr. Glomo and his team. The kind of pressures that they are going to be experiencing, look, they've already spoken to the issue of accruals, which for the non-finance people in the house, it means invoices in the drawer, unpaid service delivery. And we're looking at an excess of over a billion rand. And that's serious because of the cash blocking system, which brings the budget to naught at the end of the financial year, their accruals are going to be over a billion. That's money going forward that they don't have from their existing 17-18 budget. Over and above that, they've already spoken about NHLS challenges, as well as the costs of medical supplies, which whenever there is a drop in the rand-dollar exchange, it has a direct impact on the Department of Health. And these are the concerns that we address on a daily basis. But over and above that, for us as a concern, as Provincial Treasury, the Cuban program is an excellent idea. Dr. Glomo spoke to 800 doctors coming out of that program. That's going to be an extra 800 million rand in salaries. So it's not something that we can shy away from because it's coming on the horizon. The other issue is that even though their medical legal claims for this year, the amount that they're spending on an annual basis is in the region of about 250 million, the total medical legal contingent liability for medical legal claims in the province is nearly 10 billion. We are the second worst after Gauteng. And this is serious because for me it's theft. It's collusion amongst lawyers to get at poor people and money, and it's something that we have to work to, not just as a province, but together with national government. And we have had many discussions as a budget council with Minister Motsoaledi in our own provinces and with Minister Gordon. But I just thought I'd let you know that provinces at the moment are being squeezed so tightly that we are not down to the bone, we are down to the marrow. So every single time Minister Gordon says fiscal consolidation, the provinces are feeling it worse than you are at national level. Because if you cut my budget, I've only got two main budgets to cut, and that's education and health, which constitutes 75% of our budget outlay. And we're now going into the heart of service delivery in the fiscal consolidation program and doing everything we can as a province, and particularly health and myself, working together to make sure that it doesn't affect delivery on the ground. But I thought that it is really necessary that you know that in your deliberations, because a lot of the systems are manual in the Department of Health. Making those electronic systems, that costs a lot of money. And at the moment, it is not money that we have. So, you know, these solutions that we are putting on the table are not going to be quick fixes. They are going to be things that we are going to have to roll out as money becomes available. And it's tough. It really is tough. And it's tough on the ground for health. Thank you.
Thank you for the added information. I'm sure as we engage, we will also take this into consideration. However, I don't know. I would like us to. I know you've told us about how you are responding to the fiscal consolidation. Come again? I said I know that they are responding to the fiscal consolidation. To me, what it means, I think after carefully applying his mind and consideration of the so many factors which informed the decision for fiscal consolidation, the minister then determined lowering of ceilings, budget ceilings. Am I right? Now, what it means to me, when we go back, I think we must also go and revisit our strat plans. Ne? So that we look at how we can then respond to this. Because there's a good reason why the National Treasury has determined lowering of budget ceilings. We were in Germany. We learned that the National Treasury actually, they determine without consultation. They have a top-down approach. But in this one in particular, I know there has been so many consultations, including the Budget Council, the budget forums. There were consultations to make us understand the situation in South Africa and the difficult economic environment within which this budget was determined. So which then talked to us to say, can you go back and relook at where can you adjust? Yeah? But now there's a high risk in you determining or deciding to embark on a budget cut, especially in the two priorities, government priorities, which is health and education. There's a high risk there. Maybe I should talk about the Vulindlela tool. Where's National Treasury? There's a Vulindlela tool that I'm told it can be used, né, to go and look at where you can cut the fat without it, you know, without impacting negatively on this, on the, you know, cut the fat so that it's leaner and mean, and the nicer, you know, the leaner meat, the nearer, we said you've been cut to the bone. They say the nearer the, you know, the, what is the nearer the bone, the nicer the meat. So you make it leaner. Have you heard about this expression? Yes. So I'm trying to say, try. And then the Vulindlela tool, I'm sure can assist. I know I've used it in the province when I was MEC for finance. You really cut down on the fat and then try and find a saving there and then reprioritize your budget, as informed by your saving that you find. But also, but you've done your best within the very difficult circumstances. But thank you very much. So let's go back. Let's revisit our plans. To me, it's a pity it's a bit late. I would even say, in response to this situation, maybe we were supposed to go back and revisit our MTSF, starting there. But unfortunately, it's a little bit late now, but you are still expected to respond in a manner that will assist in ensuring that we do not compromise on service delivery, because it's about service delivery, even in your sector, service delivery. But thank you very much. It was just a comment from my side. I'm trying to think on my feet on, but what is supposed to happen when things are like that? Now, the worst part is this budget principle that says you've got to learn to do more with less. And I know in your presentation, there's some way you also touched on you having used money you don't have. It's a budget principle. You don't use money you don't have. But it's fine. Let's proceed then with the interrogation of the budget. I'm sorry, not of the budget. Now the budget has gone into my head. Or of the interrogation of the presentation. Over to you, honourable members. I know I've noted Honourable Member Khosa, Honourable Member Imam, Honourable Member Dr. Fick, Honourable Member Dr. Madope, and then Honourable Member Dr. McLaughlin, Honourable Member Snukwanyana, Honourable Member Honourable Member Manana. There's a hand that I think is missing. I know it's missing, it's coming. Honourable Member Gwabaza, Honourable Member Shope Sitole. Oh, yes, Honourable Member Dr. Maisel, yes. And then, will you remember? Please, there are too many, ne? As long as you can remember the sequence in which I've noted you. Then the my co-chair will be the last one on this one, and then we allow them a space to... Honourable Member James? Everybody wants to speak on this one, eh? As long as you can remember who you're following, so that we don't cause confusion in the process. Thank you. Okay, Honourable Member Khosa.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to KZN for the presentation. A very good presentation. You know, when presentation comes with challenges, then you happen to think now they really know what they want. They will be able to assist and deliver services to the people. However, I'm having just few issues to be clarified about. The first issue, Chair, it's with regard to management. We have got a serious challenge with regard management. I wanted to know from the province if as to how often do they conduct continuous professional development, since this is a serious challenge. Do they do that? I'm raising this because I just believe that sometimes it might even eliminate what Dr. Romo has opened with, the issue of legal claims. You know, when you are managing an entity correctly, you are not going to be having serious challenges with regard to claims. It means that you'll be having managers, unit managers that are doing their job. The other issue, Chair, is with regard to the repeated findings from the AG's report. I wanted to check as to why is it always a challenge? Why do we have repeated findings? Are we taking them seriously? What challenges are there that we are not improving on those findings? How do you want to be assisted on those? Lastly, the department is not able to pay within a 30 days period. I want to check with the department as to whether are the service providers informed of this problem, so that they be able to be keeping on assisting you as a department, knowing that you're just having a challenge, not that you do not want to pay them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Thank you, Chair. Allow me to welcome the presentation by the KZN province, including that by the MEC for Finance. Chair, I just thought that I always hear you talking about your nicknames. My nickname was also Scott, after the famous footballer Jim Scott from Durban City. So I think I have something in common with the MEC. Chair, you know, I want to start off and... the one from the MEC for Finance. Chair, let me start off, and I'm glad the DG is here, because I want to listen to this one, Chair. You know, as members of parliament, and especially if you're in certain portfolio committees, you always get calls from people in the communities with challenges when they find in hospitals, clinics, and police stations and everything. But I want to today commend the MEC, our colleague, Your Honorable Lomo, because whenever there's been a challenge and somebody called me and I tried to get hold of him to discuss it with him and raise my concern, he was always available to take my call. And if he did not take the call, he returned the call. He even parks his car one side and takes the call and deals with the matter. So I think that really says a lot for his commitment. Thank you. Chair, I'm going to go back. My concern is I see your, especially your HIV funding, is you well underfunded, you are saying. And I want to know what is the impact and what is the latest steps like with KZN in terms of the HIV with the new infections, taking into consideration your underfunding challenges. I've just heard now, I'm not sure, 2 minutes ago, that there's a measles outbreak in Durban. I don't know if you're aware of it or if it's just a rumor, but I've just got a message on my phone. But I'm going to go back to some of the other challenges that I've spoken to the other provinces about. That is the healthcare workers, and I know KZN, under your guidance, have already started the process of incorporating or taking in these temporary healthcare workers in terms of the minister's commitment and the president. I know that you've sent out letters and people have been filling in these forms in Inanda, in Tuzuma and things. So I just want you to tell us with that. And then the clinical associates, what is your program with them? Whether you're still funding them in terms of those bursaries and taking them on in terms. But the other thing I also spoke about is the challenges that we're now facing in terms of these morgues, the undertakers, the independent, which is a serious crisis. It, you know, it also includes a whole lot of criminal activity and things like them. So if you can just comment for me in terms of that. What would you say is your province's allocation or cost in terms of the involvement in Cuba and training our students to go out there and become medical practitioners? And are you in a position to be able to accommodate them? Because, you know, we're training these people, and it sounds like from what we've heard from the department and elsewhere that we might have a crisis, that we're going to have people that we are, it's costing us, but we're not going to be able to employ them. And I was just going to stop with one last one. You know, it sounds like to me, I mean, with all your presentations, like a lot is being done in KwaZulu-Natal, and let me welcome them. And I think it's really, you know, it's not easy. KwaZulu-Natal is a very vast province. It's the rural, the roads, the, you know, the terrain, it's a serious challenge. But what is it your, what do you suggest that we do? Because we've now acknowledged, listening to everybody, there's a crisis in terms of budgetary constraints, in terms of health in the country. What do you suggest we should do differently now to be able to address this, including whether we should engage with public-private partnership, like I think we spoke about the hospital of Albert Luthuli? Should we be engaging with those? But I'm not talking about these private institutions that are there making money, but I'm talking about engaging with our people on the ground, medical practitioners, experts in the field, specialists, to maybe start building in smaller public-private partnership, funded outside, and let it run like a business transaction, but at the same time accommodating the needs of the community. I'll stop there.
Mr. Honorable Fick.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. Now, when you get a presentation with so much detail, then there's always issues that one finds and looks and sees. Also, thanks for the economical way in which you dealt with the presentation, all 72 pages of them. I've just got a few issues that I would like clarification on and just to raise, Honorable Chairperson. First of all, the issue of the accruals. Now, I notice that all the departments of health calls this now accruals. But then I also, the MEC for Finance also mentioned that these are probably invoices that are in the draw. Now, my understanding of that is that that can't be an accrual. An accrual is a service that has been provided for which an invoice hasn't been received yet. That's my understanding. So if it's an accrual, it sounds like it's service that has been provided and then the invoice has been received, but it is been withheld because of the cash flow problems. Now, that is concerning for a number of reasons. One of them being that if it's a creditor and an invoice has been received, then depending on the creditor and the terms of the service provided, it might be that if it's not paid within the period that interest might also be attached to it. So that creates a problem. If it's, you see, if it's an accrual, it's fine. You haven't received the invoice. So that is the concern that I have with regards to that. Then the issue about this intender, just clarification on this. I noticed that intender, but we also know that there's the office of the centralized office of the chief procurement officer, Chair. I just want to know to what extent is that being used? Because obviously that office was established in order to make use of economies of scale, and in doing so, getting discount on goods and services. So could we just get an indication, if you have that, you know, to what extent? Obviously, there are certain goods and services that cannot be, you know, purchased via the office of the chief procurement officer. Then, with regards to projects, and I see there were three projects that were listed that are delayed, and those three hospitals, and forgive me for not being able to pronounce them, but and the risks, and some of those delays are avoidable, not in your case, but obviously because of the appointment of contractors, and what has been mentioned is some contractors is poor quality, some of them have, one or two of them have cash flow problems, so, you know, it's problematic, you know, and I know it comes up, it's not your office that is to blame for this, but, you know, except we could, when they are appointed, look at their track record rather to see, you know, whether they are. I do understand that we have, we also need to appoint contractors that meet certain requirements. So, but nevertheless, some of them are avoidable. My question on that is, what is the cost? Have you estimated the cost of those delays, specifically with regards to those three hospitals? And then my last issue, Honourable Chairperson, is this issue that has come up since yesterday. It's coming up again, and one of my colleagues mentioned yesterday, and I want to just endorse that, and I would like to just say it needs to be taken up. This collusion between the lawyers that is happening, it needs to be taken seriously, and it needs to be followed up, and the perpetrators of this collusion must be dealt with. Thanks, Honourable Chairperson.
Honourable Majuke.
No, thanks, Honourable Chair. Thanks to KZN for the present detailed presentation indicating the challenges and how they think they're going to mitigate it. I want to check here on the issue of litigation. I know that the MEC indicated that they have got a plan on how to deal with it to prevent it in future, and also invited us as national to be part of trying to fight this sketch of collusion and so on. I want to check, when did that started? Because the MEC for Finance indicated to say that it's plus minus 10 billion, you know, now where we are sitting. I think we are the third. You are the third to these litigations highest, to say that when did that started, and have you ever done a research to check whether there is a loophole in the institutions of health, maybe of not really handling things well, and what you have done about it? Secondly, Chair, my colleague have asked that one. I think here there is an indication that you have been getting qualified audit report for more than 5 years. More than 5 years on the audit outcomes and financial management leadership. I want to check, what is the challenge of responding to the recommendations of Auditor General in order to get unqualified report or clean audit? What is the challenge? I know that in the presentation of the Auditor General yesterday indicated that you have been having a challenge of senior posts not being filled. I want to check, I heard that the CFO is an acting. Don't know whether I heard it correctly. Acting. When are you envisaging of trying to have a permanent what processes are you in now to try and fill in the permanent post of the chief financial office? Because I know that even the DG is new, if I may say, you know, if you look off all this, now the position is filled. They indicated that, but the issue of the chief financial office is a critical thing that I think you need to focus and also indicate to us the your timelines around that particular matter, because it's about service delivery. If the posts are not filled, and we are saying also we are having a challenge of unemployment, it becomes a problem. And also the Auditor General indicated that there has been irregular expenditure is an expenditure that is incurred not in line with the prescript of the law. And we are clear also, the PFMA is clear to say that who is accountable for that, and how, if you can explain to us what is it that you're gonna do to try and correct these qualified that has been coming all these years without success. The other provinces that were having the same have improved. If you can assure us that maybe in 2017-18 we are no more going to see this irregular expenditure, because really it is a breach of the law. And the other things that they are saying is about the asset register not properly maintained. Poor state of asset register, which results in inaccurate reporting financial statement, which is the cause of getting this qualified report. I think it will be important also to look at your internal controls, because the Auditor General is saying that there are inadequate internal controls. And if you can maybe share with us what is the plan to try to turn around these challenges that we are having to catch this. Also, the last one, Chair, is on around the issue of the King Dinuzulu Hospital. The report of the Auditor General points to the fact that there was a challenge of the Dictator X-ray machine that has been located in the TP surgical ward since 2014. It has never been used, as the TP complex building has not been commissioned. And the machine, what is worse, I think it was a lease machine. They were saying that the supplier was paid, despite the fact that the machine was not working since 2014. But you keep on paying, it was about 366,000. That was being paid, keep on paying for something that is not working. And we are talking about the service delivery here. And the issue of the TP, I always hear the MEC talking about it, TP, all those things to say that the focus is there. But if you can have a machine that is lying not unused but pay for it, I don't think, because our responsibility as standing committee on appropriation, we follow the money. We want to know whether we're getting value for money. There is a machine not working, but we are still paying for it. Can we get a response? Because we want to know also, because it's like there are no consequences, no consequence management that is taking place. In most of the departments, wrongdoings are happening, but no consequences for that. Can we be explained why it was not being serviced or repaired? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and my thanks to Chairperson Pauza for giving me a promotion. My colleague mentioned the aspect of alleged collusion, and I just wanted to unpack that a little further. I mentioned it yesterday. I don't know whether it's just something that's bandied about, because when the DG for National Health spoke to us yesterday, she said lawyers were stealing files from departments. As an attorney myself, I quite take it sort of quite personally when my profession is sort of attacked without good reason. And I hope there is good reason for such attacks, because if you have evidence of collusion, I hope you're taking steps. I hope it's reported to the local law society that this is happening and reported to the police so that they can take action. Because if it's not, I suggest that you're failing in your duty to try and prevent this kind of thing. If I look at National Treasury's figures, your medico-legal claims have gone up radically. In 2012-13, it was about 20 million. 13-14, 97 million. 14-15, 103 million. And then suddenly 15-16, 90 million. So we had a drop there. And then this year it jumps up to 243 million. Your presentation describes this as an overspend. So presumably there's some kind of amount you had in mind already, and now it's gone 243 million over that. You know, there's only one reason you get medical legal claims, and one reason only, and that's negligence. That's the only basis for a court to find you guilty and liable for a medical legal claim is negligence. Now, if that is the case, then you're failing in another duty, because obviously your staff are not doing what they should. They're incompetent, they're incapable of carrying out their functions. What is going on here? You know, in the Auditor General's report, he says his root causes: slow responses by political leadership and senior management in addressing the root causes of poor audit outcomes. What is happening? When this thing is discovered, and clearly from the National Treasury's figures, it's been going on for some time. It's over several years. Now, we all have negligence as a factor from time to time, but it just seems to be this steady increase and then a sudden huge jump in the numbers. And you know, Auditor General also points out lack of consequences for poor performance and transgressions is another root cause. If we're not going to address the issue, it's going to continue and it's going to get worse. And it's obviously money that you desperately need for other things, and here you are paying it out because your staff are not doing what they should do, or because there's some criminal thing going on, as you say, collusion. And I suspect both of them could be addressed, and satisfactorily, if you put the right procedures in place. So I'm really asking you, please, try and do something about this, because it's a really scary thing, because you're not the only province that has the problem. There's several provinces that have a problem, some of them worse than yours and some much less, but it's there nonetheless. On just a couple of more issues, on one of the slides you gave us, it's slide number 19 on the bunch I got, you've got an item in there, payments first charge, and in brackets it says unauthorized spending, 107 million. Have you budgeted 107 million for unauthorized spending? Is that what I'm understanding here? Because otherwise I'm not quite sure what you mean by that. And then on slide 32, which is the second last one in the bundle we got, and this is the one headed departmental receipts and collection, you show the sale of goods and services other than capital assets it went up from 13-14 to 14-15 and then came down rather radically from 250 million to 213 million. What happened there? This is obviously where you're selling your products as a department and suddenly you take a dive in revenue. Have you stopped giving the services? Is your ability to provide the services less than it was? Or are people just not paying for the services anymore? Are you having a problem collecting the money? What's the cause of that? Perhaps you could help me there, because again, I'd like to know what your collection rate is on your billing and what you're doing about collecting the amounts that aren't paid. Is there some action being taken there to try and recover those monies? Because obviously, in the situation you're in at the moment, it's of dire interest to yourselves to get as much money in as you can. I mean, I see as well, interest, dividends and rent on land went from nearly 6 million in 13-14 to 143,000 in 15, and now it's only 51,000. This is another source of revenue that's just tailed off. What's the reason for that? Thank you, Chair. I'll leave it at that for now.
Honourable Senoko Nyen. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. And thank you, KZN, for the presentation. I'll start with two issues that have already been addressed by my colleagues, but just to touch on them. The first one being the medical legal claims. It is a matter of concern that it's just becoming a trend that, you know, there are all these high medical legal claim costs. seems to be across provinces. The only question then I'll just ask is, in your province, are you perhaps managing to win some of these cases? Because I think it's a very big challenge countrywide these days. So just if I can get a sense of what actually is happening, because it is becoming a serious problem. The other thing that's been touched on that I want to just touch on as well, the issue of the accruals. Actually, when you use the word invoices and the drawers, I was quite concerned that, you know, which means that because of financial constraints, then the service providers then have to suffer because their invoices are in the drawer and they don't get paid. So what are the implications of this practice? The one thing that then I would like to also check, I may have not listened well, this issue of expenditure pressures, where you indicated this housing shortfall and the NHLS migration. I'm looking at the financial year that's indicated, that 2015-16. That's why I'm saying maybe I didn't listen. What does that mean? Because it says 2015-2016. If you can just, because we are now on 2016-17. I didn't get what you were saying. Maybe a general comment also to say that, you know, the other thing that I thought I would ask, the issue of HIV/AIDS, one can't help sympathizing with KZN, bearing in mind the high incidence of HIV and AIDS in your province. And obviously, I would imagine that you need a much more higher allocation. But the reality, you know, in the real world that we live in these days, is that everybody is being asked to tighten their belts, and we have a serious problem in that. Therefore, even for goods and services, you know, we appreciate that we are considering the non-negotiables, but there are those things where you need to tighten your belts. It's not easy, it's never going to be easy, but there is that element of belt tightening, both in goods and services and in compensation of employees. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also join those who welcome the report. The first issue is with regards to the litigation. It is really a concern to all of us, but I must indicate that is not the attack on your profession, Honorable Member. Indeed, I know some of the lawyers who were struck off precisely because we're stealing documents from hospitals. While I was still the MEC of Mpumalanga, I experienced that. So it's not that we're attacking the lawyers, but it's something that really once happened. And it may happen that there is really a collusion. But this issue needs to be elevated to national, because it seems as if it is all over the provinces. The MEC for Health from Eastern Cape raised this issue yesterday very sharply and indicated that there are pages in the files of the patient that are missing, of which some of the lawyers are using those documents. That is my plea, that national must now intervene, and the security agencies of this country must be involved. Because this money is not a small money, it's very exorbitant. The second issue, Chairperson, that I would like to raise is with regards to the 30 days payment. You are indicating to us that you are not going to pay within 30 days. What you are saying to us? Because that is what you are preaching. Everybody is talking about suppliers must be paid. It's a prescribed. So we must go out now and tell people that, no, in KwaZulu-Natal, or you need to inform the department so that everybody must know what this is the situation in KZN. because people will be saying these things and there will be other side and say members of parliament they are liars. We don't want to be seen to be doing that. The last issue, Chairperson, is with regards to the issues raised by Mamdlomo with regards to the AG. I won't repeat them, but if they can respond. Mam, sorry, my job.
Good job.
With regards to the AG, thank you very much.
Next, Honorable Member Twabasa.
Excuse me, Chairperson. Just two questions and a comment. The first, on slide 27, you are indicating that there is additional funding required to sustain the services, and you have been indicating this throughout the programs of the province. If you could give us a total, you know, a figure of the amount of money that is required, just so that we have a sense of what are the fiscal requirements. Secondly, the delayed projects that you have made mention of, one example being Gwelezani delayed for 6 months, for reasons mostly out of your control, what are the cost escalations and how are you planning to deal with that in the 2017-18 budget? Chair, the comment about the legal cost, I was going to suggest a similar thing that Honorable Manana has said, to say that there are national structures, including the Department of the National Department of Health, which I think need to come to put their heads together to deal with this issue, because it cuts across all provinces. It's actually a national issue, in including full investigations into this alleged collusion, so that we solve that issue once and for all. The second issue that I think requires more focus and in fact must make us think about how we shift funding accordingly, it's the issue of provinces that have inherited the former homelands with very bad healthcare facilities where they existed, and in most cases they have been non-existent. So that if there is a need to shift certain funds from certain programs to begin to address that challenge, because if we don't do that, and perhaps the National Treasury can help us in this regard as well, if we don't do that, this problem of healthcare in provinces that have suffered the homeland systems is not going to go away, not in any short space of time. The last proposal, Chairperson, I want to make. Can we, in a way, treat this gathering, this three-day gathering, as some kind of a workshop, and put together a small team of people who are going to work out at least a minimum of 5 to 8 areas of special attention, which we will say to ourselves are issues that we must work towards attaining better outcomes. And we give ourselves the next 6 months to meet and assess progress and then move forward. I'm making this proposal. I haven't canvassed it with anybody. I'm just thinking that the nature of challenges in the whole health sector requires us to have some special focus on special areas that need to be addressed, and they are urgent. Thank you, Chairperson.
We now call upon Honourable Member Shoppes Tole.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you, KwaZulu Natal, for a very clear presentation. But I want to particularly thank the MEC for the introduction, because, you know, Professor Joseph Stiglitz, the most cited economist of our time, insists that, you know, history and politics must not be removed from economics. It is necessary, when we listen to KZN, to remember where we come from. The past. We must also remember the geography. It's a very wide rural province. Actually, I think it's Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and KwaZulu Natal, which have got a lot of poverty. We must remember all those challenges when we deal with this province. But also be aware of the geopolitical economy. The MEC said it very clearly. They may budget 10 rand for medicine, but you find that in England, when they have to get the machine is 500,000. So those things are the things that, as lawmakers, we must always bear in mind when we talk about. That is why it is very necessary for MECs to accompany the HODs when we call them, especially in appropriation. Because without that background, mina as an accountant, I would have just be thinking about adding the numbers. But your input as a politician, as a politician who is aware of what is happening on the other side of the globe, actually brings me to sympathize extremely with yourselves. And I would like to plead with ourselves as lawmakers to actually take this situation of KZN as a very serious situation. I also want to plead with the DG National not to waste time to take this thing of these learned friends who are giving us problems with stealing of files very serious. Involve the police so that we can get somewhere with this thing, because it is not the first time we hear. Yesterday, every province was complaining about this, what do you call it, Mado? Yeah, medico something. Medico legal. We have to deal with these things decisively. And I want to support what the whip of my committee, Utwabaza, is saying. We need to put up a unit that will look into this thing. And actually, because if we say provinces individually are going to deal with this, I don't think they are going to succeed. And it's only going to deplete their resources. The last one, KZN, if you want sympathy from me, you know, you go and deal with all the recommendations of the Auditor General and write back to my chairperson, Upinki Phos, and say we have dealt with all of them and we must find out. If you do that and have a clean audit, then you get 100% sympathy from even Nocelliwe Shem. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions. Honourable Member Dr. Maisel.
Thank you, Chair. I think the motto of the KZN Department of Health which says fighting disease, fighting poverty, giving hope, gives us hope that at least they are not just concentrating on the medication and treating patients, but on also take into cognizance the underlying causes or the most important driver of ill health, which is poverty. At least we understand, that makes us understand that they understand the problem of health holistically, not just from the professional point of view. And of course, they say they turn the bursaries of doctors who are training in Cuba into salaries. Well, that is appreciated, and that's the way, that's the only way it should be. It's just that maybe the salary is not there or not yet budgeted for, but it is appreciated that you are doing this, and that's another sign that shows that you understand the holistic problem, because you can't talk of health without practitioners. You have to have practitioners in order to have health. Even if you have the salary, without practitioners, what are you going to do with it? So it shows a great understanding of the problem per se. Now, everybody is talking about this medical legal problem. I think you are aware now that almost everybody talks about it, and there is nothing much to add to it because it has been something that everybody has been talking about. But I just wanted to know, how do you plan to combat the underlying causes of this problem of litigation? You know, the underlying causes must be combated. It's just a matter of saying we understand it, it is a problem, people steal files and things like that. There must be underlying causes that you must try to combat. And it's so big that it needs legislation to try and combat it. But legislation is not the it's not going to be the panacea for the problem. We have to find the underlying causes and stop that. I think the rest is just additional things about the X-ray machines. Why do you have a building to accommodate a machine that is not going to be used? Because the building is not commissioned. There is some control mechanism that is lacking somewhere. If that one can be sorted out, it's not a train smash, but it adds to lack of oversight to make sure that things are done when they are supposed to be done. Thank you very much.
I will now call upon Honourable Member Jafta.
Thank you, Chair.
Followed by Honourable Member James.
For Mr. allowing James. Me so late. I've got only one question, Honourable Chair. One has been already asked that, if possible, the province can give us how many patients are on an antiretroviral treatment program, especially that their province is reflected as the most affected HIV province generally. The question that I'm having, Honorable Chair, is concerning the shortage of staff. I just want to know if are they having that problem of the shortage of staff in the province. I'm asking that, Honorable Chairperson, because there is a noticeable migration, especially of nurses from KZN to this province, that is Western Cape. And I know for the fact that KZN trains a lot of nurses, both in private and public colleges. And I'm asking that question, Honorable Chair, fully aware of the freedom of movement for the citizens of South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are you Rising, Honourable Member.
Thank you very much. If one looks at all the numbers and listen to all the comments, and if you were to ask the question, is KZN Health a going concern, the answer is no. I mean, you're a company, you'll be bankrupt. And here we're dealing with health of people, and where most of your expenditure, well, a big chunk is about people, so health professionals in the system. So I just want to comment that we have more than a crisis here, it's an emergency. And so to say to a province, well, you have to do more with less in the area of health, I mean, it's easier said than done. So what's required is to say that these are the province's priorities. And my question is, if you were to, if I ask the colleagues who are taking the brunt of this pressure, fiscal consolidation pressure, what are the three most important things that the health system must tackle? It's really important. That's the only way one can be able to say that you prioritize and you then devote the resources to that.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. Just a few questions and comments. In the presentation, KZN, it's still talking about outsourcing. I'm a bit worried. You as much as you talk about outsourcing, you have not outlined if you do have a program to remember that we, in particular as health, we are very worried about and we are encouraging provinces to do away with that. Also with the issue of provincialization, what is the impact? You just thrown it and you left it there. One will then be interested in that. You have not talked about the impact of immigrants, because you're in the border of Mozambique, and in your sector, the impact of that, because I would be of the view, MEC, that you are much aware of it's about time. I would plea humbly that if you have not conducted that research, do the number of immigrants vis-a-vis who are in your institutions and who have added in terms of the population. Because the population of this country is increasing, but the number of the population that is to service in terms of health sector now is shrinking. So I do think DG, as much as it's a combat project or a program, I think we are to do that. You have not talked about the role of private sector, MEC of finance. What is it? Is there any in assisting you in the challenges that you are having? I'm worried as public representatives when we talk about medical legal hazard litigation. We talk as if we have never been exposed to this challenge. If we can remind ourselves, there was a time in this country, maybe it was affecting my province, where there was a scam, well coordinated, of people that are stealing files, and it was affecting social development. Stealing files, and when it was traced, it was picked up that it starts from maternity, it goes to an administrator, it goes to SAPS, and that has been there. I know for a fact that files are being stolen for lawyers. Files are being stolen for lawyers. And therefore, as much as I think the HOD of Health in the Eastern Cape explained the unfortunate part of this sect, because negligence, yes, you can't say, you can't condone it. But it, at times, it's something that is beyond, at times, worse in theater. I mean, I'm saying at times. But
We know for a fact that the tap has been closed, squeezed in the road accident fund, and these lawyers, I think Honorable Manana was correct, these lawyers have seen a loophole. It then necessitates that we become vigilant. Either our systems are not well coordinated, are loose, others our documents are not kept safe, others our communities are used. I'm coming from PE. I was told by communities that, you know what, at times people come there and sit within them and listen to what they are saying and call them aside to say, no, no, you can go, you must go and sue the hospital. Two, in you, because that's what I also ask Eastern Cape, in you being faced with this challenge, do you have a concerted program of empowering our communities to know, to understand that they are being used? And I want to emphasize, I am not trying to say there are no challenges in terms of negligence in the health sector, but it is a common fact. We know that health has been found and has been found to be a gold mine. Obviously, myself as a health worker, former health worker, if health workers are being said they're doing, I'll come to their defense. So I think Honorable Manana was correct. It's not because we are trying to demonize lawyers at the expense of challenges in the health sector, but it's an issue that's why I'm making an emphasis, and it's about time, DG, that now we stop talking about this. It must be acted, because we are going to be drained and drained, and we are then going to be blamed that we have not done anything. When we I don't want to say what have you done, why this, you no, I just want to put the broader issues that programs for our communities. We were here when the Eastern Cape was saying people are called if somebody find that your child has got cerebral palsy, 10, 12 years old, and you are told to go and claim. I mean, we must not sit here and think that some of these things are things that are not happening where we are staying with our community. So that is why, for me, I am laboring on this point, in particular the program. It's about time both the National Department of Health and provinces and ourselves as public representatives empower our people that this, in fact, is messing your own country in terms of the health sector. I do think that we'll have to look into that. The last one is MEC, that you have built, you are going to build, or you have built some hospitals. In 2015-16 Auditor General's report, there are areas where you are said there's a finding, equipment not being used optimally due to lack of staff. I hope we are going to address that, because we're going to buy equipment for those. That the detailed design of projects were not well developed and documented. A project brief was not developed that addresses the needs, objectives, user requirement, acceptance criteria, and scope. I hope as you move forward, you will then be able to address this. I think as health that your infrastructure, you are improving it, but go back to those findings and ensure that you try and address them. That is in the 2015-16 Auditor General's findings in terms of the health sector.
Those are the few questions that some of the areas have been addressed, but I thought that this area of the medical legal, I'm happy that other provinces are here, will also see, but we are now we have got a picture that it is really a national challenge, and I think as Parliament, how then do we assist provinces together with the national department so that our people do understand? Because at the end, it is the African National Congress, which is leading in government, that is going to take the knock, being blamed by people in something that we could have avoided, in something that we could have addressed head on. Because this is about the integrity of our people. I thought, Chair, I need to raise those few points. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for all the issues that have been raised. May I also, I know as a chairperson I'm supposed to drive, but I'm so tempted. May I please ask a question? Thank you very much. No. Okay. Under infrastructure development, do you have an infrastructure unit with capacitated staff members? And also, as this committee, we would like to receive your infrastructure development implementation plan, costed infrastructure, because we want to see how you're going to, because in the new financial aid, there's new allocation. How is it going to be used? And we must commend you for using a bigger chunk of your infrastructure project for, because I think charity begins at home. Let's start with what we have and perfect it. And then you can then phase in all your new projects. Yeah, but I must commend you there, because it came up strong that you are doing exactly that. Because if you don't have money, you can't start new projects. It must also, you know, inform our thinking. So because I don't have money, this is what I can afford. And you do what you can afford, but you do it to the best of your ability as well. All right, contract management. There's a serious issue of contract management. I know here you're talking about the high costs of maybe, I think you of cancelling projects. It's true. If you cancel a project because it was not managed correctly, the contractor came in and gave you a wrong CV, and now come to implementation, he's unable to, you'll end up with half-built structures. And obviously, we would then have to interpret that as wasteful expenditure, because then for you to restart that thing, you must then acquire more money to get a new contractor who can. So if you could talk to us about contract management, are you able to follow on this one? Because we think if this one is done correctly, we might save costs and avoid your fruitless expenditure and your wasteful expenditure. Okay. Now, mechanics and equipment plan. I see there you've got you've budgeted for transport. Am I right? Is it? Yes, transport. How many? Because there's a budget of money to the tune of 147 million. How many do you need? Because that will come from your situational analysis. And then how many are you going to be able to purchase with this one? Because also in your presentation you said others have now aged. Other emergency, what, your ambulances. Yeah, I'm talking about ambulances, have aged. So how many are you going to be able to, you know, to buy? And because there is a serious cry out there. Not necessarily in KZN, I'm talking in general, that there are no ambulances, even those that are there, they are not assisting. All right. Now, under your medical products and medical care, my emphasis would be on medical care. Serious complaint about the attitude of nurses. Maybe not only nurses, but it's a serious complaint. Now, my suspicion is that maybe it's because of a lack of enough personnel. So you use people who are tired, who will then displace their feelings on the patients. I got that terminology from social work, displacement of feelings. They displace it on the... What are you doing to address this? Because honestly speaking, those patients have got the right to health, but also they have a right to be treated with dignity. It comes from the Constitution. It's a constitutional order, constitutional requirement. They must be treated with dignity. Okay. On waste management, do you have a waste management strategy? Here we are responding to media releases recently to say we're becoming now a, you know, this area in particular is becoming a health hazard. And earlier on I said health hazard visas a better life for all. So it's an opposite of what this government has committed to do for the people of the country. So your waste management strategy. On program two, you've got your district health. Can you elaborate on your district health program? And because we heard that district, I don't know, it's an office or center. What do you call them, doctor? The district offices. Yeah, district offices are used as a post office. That's not what we want to hear. We want them to be gainfully used, you know, and in the best interest of the patients, but also of the country. Now, can you share with us your district health program, and what are you doing at a district health level to prepare for the implementation of your NHI? Because from where I'm sitting as a layman, I'm thinking at that level, you should be preparing GET management that will be able to run their own budgets. And then also you need everything that you need, equipment and infrastructure, if there'll be an infrastructure for the end. But because we're still at the phasing in stage, maybe. But whatever that you prefer, you would know exactly what it will take to run an NHI at a district health level. All right. This one, I haven't heard anyone talk about it. Your program 4 and 5. Dr. Long, with the rise of cancer problems in the country, we don't hear you talking about oncology wards. Can you share with us what are you doing to introduce those wards? Because indeed, maybe your response will be, we don't have oncologists, but what are you doing to make sure that, because this is a scarce skill, that this people are trained so that we can, people, those who are suffering from cancer can get the service. Oncology was your oncologist. What are you doing? I'm sure you can just give us your legacy in this one, in your province. It's a legacy project that I'm introducing. You will see where to cut costs so that you can accommodate this. It is a service that is also needed by cancer patients. Okay. All right. I think to me that would be all for now.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If you would allow us to respond, and I see my colleague Lipompo has come in, and she will help me too. But there's also Mrs. Scott. I'm sure she'll come in to assist. Because I'm left-handed, I'll start from the back and go forward. And those that I leave behind, the HOD will then deal with those that will be the most difficult ones. Let me just start with what the chairperson has just raised now. The issues of what are we doing to say, maybe the HOD will define exactly other programs. But just to indicate another showcase, there's a program in the country called the CCMDD, Centralized Chronic Medicines Distribution and Dispensing, the other way around. Now, that we have taken a roadshow in the province, in districts, driven by us in the head office, but wanting to and waiting for district managers to support us where we can go. What it says is that when patients are on month 8, 9, and 10 on a chronic medication, be it hypertension, diabetes, chronic arthritis, and whatever,
we can then remove them from coming into our clinics and hospitals on a daily basis. And we package through MediPost, a program actually given to us by National, send them medication at their homes, in their temples, mosques, churches, the counselor's house, the donor's house, and then appreciate that in there so much. I can say this much, that of the million patients in the country that are now on that program, half of them, 504,000 are in KwaZulu-Natal alone. Probably because we started on the NHI sites and we pushed it quite fast. When the National told us, let's roll it out in the whole country, we already had a big number. You won't imagine how helpful it is to patients. Patients are able to walk into the hospital, into the clinic, get a file and move right into the dispensary, get the medication, they are gone. And they can actually take medication for the uncle, for the brother, for the father, provided they bring with them the cards that we have issued to them, and then they collect. So patients have got a lot of their time now to do other things, and it's quite actually helpful. So that's just one of the programs that is supported and driven by the district managers wherever we are. In all 11, we have driven it in the programs. But if you listen to the honorable members here, almost 10 or more than 10 of the 11 who asked questions, they have not left out the issues of medical legal claims. Maybe just to correct, medical legal claims is not equivalent to negligence. There is a component to negligence, but it's not wholly negligence. So I think we need to correct that. Let me start by saying, National has probably left behind on this, but we have engaged the minister. Minister, there are national radios that are advertising this matter, and there's an advert that goes around, says, if you ever have any challenge regarding your medical treatment in a particular hospital, come to my offices, and these are my numbers. Those are lawyers touting. We have that in the national radios. Now, why we cannot actually penetrate it and deal with it, I don't know, because it's a national thing. I raised it to the minister. Minister, we need to deal with this matter at that level to find out whether it is allowed for lawyers to actually on the national radio put an advert that says, you have any problems in any hospital, whatever they did to me, come to me, this is my name, these are my numbers, and so we can prove that it happens. The second part that deals with that is that until and unless as a country we decide to go electronic in terms of patient files, we'll always have this process. Because even doctors, you said, what did you write here? I can't remember what I wrote here, so we can't even argue that in court. Let alone that there are lawyers who go around the country to early development childhood areas, and they go to other social development houses where we are keeping children who are slow learners, and say, why do you have cerebral palsy? Which hospital were you delivered at? And therefore they are collecting big data, because they can have actually have gone to up to 21 years of claims. So lawyers are hungry for money, and they go around, because we don't want to hide as doctors and healthcare professionals. We do make mistakes, but they are capitalizing so much on these mistakes, and therefore they want to make a kill, and none of those patients are receiving money too much on that. That's why I said, maybe you need to call all of us as provinces to come and outline our collective plan on this. Because among other things we are saying, if we actually admit we made a mistake on that patient and that family, and therefore there's a proper assessment, that child then must be compensated for this, that, and the other. But these billions that are asked for is for medical legal, is for future medical care. We would want to issue a certificate up front to say, look, at any given time, you need this and that, you walk into our hospital, we'll give you free. So we don't give you these millions up front. Because they still come and line in our hospital, despite that 2 months ago, you gave them billions. So why then are we said, we will not pay you this money, we will put it as our part of our responsibility. At any given time, you need to come and actually be treated for, you can walk into any of our facilities. In fact, you can even give you one of the best, you go to those hospitals. So those are issues that we really need to be mindful that they are existing. I wanted just to then come to the issue that was raised by Honorable Majoba. It is very true, we cannot hide that we could have done better than what we did in terms of AG's report. The AG has actually been finding us wanting on very specific issues, but I think there's not been a good drive on our side to deal with this. Somebody should have just been honest to say, we just have too many assets that we can't in these 12 months be able to actually bring forth was, when we promise AV, no, we'll deal with this asset registration issue, and 12 months down then we have not dealt with, then it's like we have not been honest to ourselves. Because somebody should have just said, look, we now know that you have found us wanting on this. It's going to take us 2 years or 3 years to get us up on the bus. Right to date, I still have not received the news that we are up to date as according to the AG's request in terms of our asset register management. So those are challenges that we should not be hiding, but record up front. But the other issue that AG has been funding us on is issues of irregular expenditure. Sometimes irregular expenditure is beyond our own control. We issue a tender and we want to award it next month, and yes, we do. Somebody objects, and when the person objects, we then have to provide the service on a month-to-month until Treasury and everybody who has gone for an appeal has sorted out that appeal. For that period, that 12, the whole year, we will therefore be measured on having actually spent on an irregular. And these are huge, huge budgets. I mean, we're paying waste management, we are paying the food services and all that. So those are very huge things that you have found on to have actually expended on irregular. So it's not really small issues that we were talking about. I think Umama, Honorable Shoppers Tole, has really been very supportive on her comments, and they would not really go to that. We're very, very grateful, thanking her for that. Chapter raised the issue, how many, we are very delighted that in the whole country there are about 3.6 million patients on ARVs. In October 2015, we launched a book in KwaZulu-Natal thanking our nurses, because of that 3.4 then, 1 million patients were in KwaZulu-Natal alone. We are accelerating it because we know the heavy burden is in KwaZulu-Natal, and therefore this country to get better, it will have to take KwaZulu-Natal to do it faster and better than the rest of the country. But we were actually thanking our nurses, because if we had relied on doctors alone, we would not have managed to do that. So it was a thanks to our nurses who have really taken the bull by its horns, thanks to the program called NIMAT, Nurse Initiated Management of ARTs. That is what actually has made us to be where we are today. So I think those are the issues that I wanted to cover. Because the HOD is going to cover other difficult ones. I've covered the issues of collusion. Yes, it is there, and you can't run away from it. And the outsourcing, I think this outsourcing issue is a very interesting one, because the ruling party is waiting to hear how far we are going, because somewhere we're told we must actually improve on that. And every time this matter has been discussed, it sounds like in the country, in government, the people are outsourcing is only health. And they forget that also education, agriculture, everywhere, people are outsourcing their offices, this and that. But maybe let me just speak about our province. When we came back from the ruling party's clear direction that you shall have to look into this outsourcing issue, from 2012, there are no clinics or hospitals in the province that we have built and they have completed that we have outsourced security services to. And I've asked the HOD now to say, we need to incrementally be able to draw a line to say those that are outsourced, mainly security, by end of this year, we will not be renewing a contract. We should beef up our own and therefore employ people, because it's morally correct to do that. With cost that comes in, it's just a moral obligation, because these people don't have medical leave, they don't have pensions, they just get out there and be lost. So we are working on a program that says, how are you going to then gradually, end of this year, Itindale security, you bring them in gradually. So you are going to do that, but the record on our side is that those that have been finished and completed, none of them are outsourced now. We are working on this issue of still outsourcing the food services. It's something that we are packaging. It's always very difficult. But let me just say, we have not moved as fast as we had been asked. Through government policies, but we have already traveled some journey, and we keep on working on this process. HOT, what else is left for me? Oh, the issue of a CFO, it's sitting somewhere We have finished our processes as a department, and we just have to actually completely get that off the ground and get it. I hope within a month or two, I really would get that matter sorted out and be done with. We have a CFO now that we actually interviewed, and every process is done. HOD, the rest of the other issues are very difficult. It talks about monies that I won't be able to. But maybe let me just say this, the last one. We will send to the chairperson a wonderful book, which is going to be part of our budget speech, a book that shows how far we have done in KwaZulu-Natal just on infrastructure. It's important to mention this, because the infrastructure, we had three categories, and we continue to, and I'm sure it's across all provinces, being the rural province. We had facilities that were built by KwaZulu government, built in whatever way that they were built. The Office of the Health Standard Compliance is telling us this is not how a clinic should look like. So we have to revamp and improve on those clinics. Number two, don't always believe that what we inherited from the apartheid government was always good. A classic example is the facelift that we have done to Edington Hospital and to Grace Hospital that were previously white hospitals. We inherited hospitals that were almost also debilitated. So it is not true that the apartheid government was improving and actually maintaining their own hospitals. So we have done quite a lot in terms of this. So as going forward, a third category, providing health facilities in areas that were neglected, has to take in cognizance that we have to improve even those first two categories. So we are steadily doing that, but there will always be people at Msinga who say, good enough, but it's up, but when are we coming to build? So we build, but also going backwards to improve and revitalize those that are already standing there, that are also not in a good state.
Sorry, I just want to quickly grab some of the finance things. The irregular expenditure that became a first charge was expenditure that the Department of Health could not justify. It was not approved by the legislature, so it became a first charge. The money comes back to the fiscus. A billion rand, the accrual issue, they're made up of two things, carryover costs and unpaid invoices. And yes, it is a problem, and that is because of the fact that the Department of Health are under such severe strain financially, and the first spend is on compensation of employees. The infrastructure spend for this department is very, very good. We used to have problems many years ago, but they are totally up to speed now. In fact, they even get additional funding every now and again. I really do want to talk about the medical legal claims. And, Madam Chair, it really might be very good for your committee to get Minister Matsaledi here to explain the issue of the medical legal claims. It's not only criminal, it's parasitical, and they are vultures. What happens, and it's mainly in the area of obstetrics, and it's not just the public sector, it's the private sector as well. You will now see that gynecologists are having to take out massive insurances, and they don't want to deliver babies anymore. Just get the statistics for yourself. The minute a mother goes into birth and they know that it's a problem birth, the lawyers are there waiting to talk to the families before the mother's even given birth. And what they do is that they say to the families, we'll put in a claim for 100,000, but they put in a claim for 2 million and they pocket the rest. This is what's happening in South Africa right now. And the sooner we get legislation against these vultures, the better. And one just has to go back to what happened in the Road Accident Fund. Exactly the same issue. And that was dealt with. We need to deal with it in health. Do we want to spend billions of our rands to people that are stealing money from the poor, or are we going to stop this? And we need to stop it.
Thank you. I'll just deal with a few that are left. There was a question on training of our staff. For medical staff, for medical doctors, they have to do CPDs. and we also do train nurses and other healthcare workers. There might be, you know, people might say that there's a link. Just to add what has just been said, most of our medical legal claims are actually around CPDs, and they go back seven, 8 years. So whatever measures we're putting in place now are not going to yield fruit today or tomorrow in terms of clinical practice. It will bear fruit 5 or 6 years from now. So whatever you see in media, it's talking to many cerebral palsy that occurred up to 21 years ago. So as MEC alluded to that. When it comes to the issues of AG...
If I may interject, we're not doing well on time. So if you can just be short and to the point and those key issues that they really need to be responded to. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. The issue of district offices, we as a province have taken a decision to do an audit of the district office, because we also were of that same opinion that what is the function per se? Because most of the irregular expenditure happens, contrary to what people think. They think irregular expenditure is mainly sitting at the head office level. It's mainly at the facilities at lower levels that are supposed to be supported by the district. We do have a plan in terms of capacitating the district or offices. As a province, whatever we do in the NHI pilot sites, we are doing it province wide. We are capacitating the district. We haven't isolated the ones that are NHI funded. We are whatever program that we put province wide. We know that we are running a primary healthcare based health system, and that's where our focus is. I'm not going to be talking to many of these issues, as many of them have been addressed by the MEC, the both Treasury and Health. But when it comes to the issue of that TB unit and the X-ray, we are aware of that. There was a time delay between commissioning of the facility and actually the machine, and also there was a problem with the sonographer. It's now being used, but it's an issue that we are currently are trying to deal with. On accruals, I think we've mentioned most of the things. With regards to provincialization, we haven't costed per se, but when you go to a facility, we go to Cato Manor, and we look at how much it's going to cost for us to take this one over. We look at the infrastructure requirements and also taking over the staff there. We have done for a few facilities. It is exorbitant and now. So we'll just then need to do it. We need to bite, you know, in small pieces, and at the end we will make sure that we've taken over the all the clinics. But the problem is that when your Office of Healthcare Standard Compliance they go there, they don't attribute such to the municipality. They attribute to us as health. So it is our priority. Chair, I'm not sure if there are any other major issues. When it comes to penalties, when it comes to infrastructure cost, the delays, we do hit them with penalties, and they're sitting at around 100,000 per day. So it hasn't cost us that much, because we also do penalize them for the delays. Thank you, Chair.
I wish we had the whole day long, but unfortunately, indeed, we have to share the time with the other provinces as well. thank you for the presentation, and indeed you have helped us to gain deeper insights on what you are doing with regard to infrastructure, human resource, your equipment. I know that maybe later, it's okay, but I'm sure you'll be doing something about the waste management. Yeah, all right. No, thank you so much. And then I think we're done with the KZN Provincial Program, health program. So we will now take a human, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes human rights break.
When I was finished, Gigi said, I must give her all this information. Now she says you must type it for the record so that we can get it. I must bring the implementation plan, but that one they are emailing it to Joe, and then Joe will, on the medical legal. So it starts here, dearest.
We have a presentation of
Bringing the document.
So why don't you have typed
it? Just type it as a response on medical legal. So it starts with the ministerial advisory committee medical appointed in 2016. Then it's chaired by Dr. Carter. That's it. And then maybe you should indicate for that for a copies, copies of the declaration and implementation plan are attached.
So which means you will attach.
Will be attached next. So it means we can send it to Joe, because Joe is the one Joe is the one who's going to give them the two documents. So
then this will be a covering. Cover. Okay.
Yes.
Hello. Good. How are you?
But I do need the. Thank you.